future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. It's Monday. It's late in the evening here. Just want to set the scene. We've had a phenomenal weekend here at SVK Crypto. We've been planning. We've been strategizing. Been thinking a lot about the content that's going to be coming out. Been thinking a lot about what's happening at the minute with the market, the projects we're seeing coming through, announcements that we're looking to make, all the good stuff. That will be coming out very shortly. So with that in mind, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. It means a lot to us all here at SVK Crypto. We appreciate your time and attention on each and every episode. If you're new to the show, welcome to the SVK Crypto 15 Minutes of Crypto Fame podcast. And if you are one of our regular listeners, it's great to have you back. So with that in mind, in today's show, we're going to be covering Ethereum and the recent upgrade and what this really means for the entire Ethereum network and the process behind this upgrade and what it all really means. So with that in mind, before we get into the show, here's what's been going down the last 24 hours. We've seen volume figures depreciating over the course of the weekend, along with market cap, where we lost about $4 billion in market cap over the course of the last 48 hours. We've seen a lot of positive sentiment being released. New York City to launch blockchain center. Y Combing advances industry-friendly bills, and that will be able to attract crypto businesses to that state. We've also seen the next Bitcoin investment trust seeking SEC approval, so that's kind of interesting. It's a New York firm called Wilshire Phoenix, which is an investment management firm, partnered with Coinbase to establish about $500 million fund meant to offer institutional investors exposure to assets. So hugely interesting. We also had Huobi Group has announced that HBUS, its American strategic partner, which launched in San Francisco last year, has licensed its rebrand and digital asset marketplace with the name Huobi. So that's kind of interesting. We've seen Huobi moving into the US market, and that'll be something we'll keep a close eye on to see how well the regulator welcomes Huobi and see how easy they find transitioning over into that market. So with that in mind, let's get on and let's get down to business. So the upgrade to the Ethereum network is called Metropolis. So within Metropolis, you have two hard forks, one called Byzantium, which happened in 2017, and one that happened over the course of the weekend called Constantinople. And you have to excuse my pronunciation on that. So let me give you a bit color on the current situation and the effects this will have. So let's start off. What is a hard fork? So a hard fork in general is a significant change applied to the blockchain. It validates the last invalid transaction on the blockchain. So this requires all nodes on the network to upgrade to delay that version of the protocol upgrade. So in layman's terms, it's just an overall upgrade to the network. For the Ethereum network, I believe they've gone through like seven hard forks now, or eight. So this isn't the first time it's happened. It's not always a bad thing. It's always looking to improve the network. And for that to happen, you basically have to upgrade the current infrastructure going down. The most popular one on Ethereum would be the DAO hard fork, the DAO hard fork, which caused the chain to split, which created Ethereum Classic. So the original idea of the Metropolis upgrade or hard fork was to move from proof of work to proof of stake as per Ethereum's roadmap, which like that was delayed originally. It was supposed to be end of last year and they held back for a little while, and basically it's been delayed until today because there were some new other changes they were adding to that as well. So let's look back at what Byzantium really introduced to the Ethereum network. It really introduced 9 out of the 11 Ethereum improvement proposals. So the other two missing were supposed to be introduced, well, are introduced by Constantinople, and you have to give my pronunciation of that. Byzantium introduced a privacy element called ZK Snark, zero knowledge proofs, which is basically the privacy features of Zcash moving to Ethereum. And for that, it will require more gas, so the fee is higher to transact with the privacy feature. Another amendment was static contract calls, which was the ability for one smart contract to call upon another smart contract without changing the state itself. So even from something so small, it increased the amount of security within smart contracts, which the DAO DAO hack basically forefronted to the Ethereum community. They also had mining rewards cut down. So before the Byzantine hard fork, it was five Ethereum to mine a block, right? And that implemented it to become three Ethereum per block. Miners were very unhappy with that situation, but it's very interesting, which we'll get to in a second, what the current status quo is. So with the new upgrade, Constantinople, moving from proof of work to proof of stake, meaning less miners involved, trying to increase TPS, so transactions per second, trying to increase the entire Ethereum network. So here's what's really interesting. Here's what's gone down over the weekend. So they've introduced Bitwise shifting instructions, reducing the cost of shifts in smart contracts by 10x. So 10x less gas in price itself. Fast smart contract verification. So also allows smart contracts to verify one another by pulling just the hash of the other smart contract instead of the whole code. EP1014 enables the more effective execution of state channels, which allows off-chain transactions. They also reduce the gas cost for SS store, which was EIP1283. One of the other amendments they made, which is EIP1234, was block reward adjustment, reduces the block rewards for miners from 3 ETH per block to 2 ETH, known as thirdening. The difficulty bomb delays the difficulty bomb for another 12 months, right? So it hasn't become harder to mine, which is really interesting, because originally what the idea was is that blocks would go down, or the amount of ETH you'd get for mining a block would go down. And what would happen is it would become more difficult, but they'd keep on delaying that to appease to the mining power of the network, which is held in, you know, a very small amount of people's hands, guys and girls who basically own a lot of different mining machines who mine this, Ethereum, have a lot of say in the network, and you know they're really unhappy about that, so they've had to delay that for another 12 months. So as well, if you can imagine that, the less ETH that you're getting as a block reward, the harder it is to mine the total supply. So that means it's become longer, so the price should appreciate on the back of that. They also have inflation reduction, so we have constant tip of 7.2%, post constant tip of 4.8%, and total reduction of minus 2.4% of inflation, which is pretty decent. I mean, they're working very hard on that. So that's really interesting when it was smart contract platforms. You have really Ethereum and EOS who are kind of, you know, leading the way in their own right. And obviously Ethereum's been around for a long time, so they've built a really strong community. And it'd be really interesting because you have lots of different other platforms coming to market. You've got the Cadenas of the world, you've got the Definities of the world. But the truth is, who's going to be able to execute and build momentum, build an ecosystem, right? Who's going to have the most user adoption? Because whoever has the most user adoption is the one who wins. So it's really interesting at the minute because Ethereum's trying to, you know, sweeten up their network and ecosystem, and ended up not being a hard fork, just an upgrade, because all the miners agreed that these changes made sense. They're all on the same mission. They want to see Ethereum doing extremely well, so they're all in agreement of making it easier for developers to build upon and for you to use Ethereum in your everyday lives. But then you have someone like EOS, which is kind of doing, you know, a lot of things differently in the zero transaction costs. And it's a lot easier to basically build a smart contract on EOS because you don't need to know Solidity. EOS has C++, Java, and WebAssembly, so they're kind of covering the major bases there. So at the minute, you're having a lot of different projects building out on Ethereum. I think there's lots of different benefits to building on Ethereum, and it really depends on the project. On a day-to-day basis here at SVK Crypto, we have a lot of different projects who kind of pitch us saying, oh, we're currently building on Ethereum, but you know, we'd be interested in building on EOS. And the truth is, not all the time it's the best situation to build an EOS. For some projects, it makes a lot of sense. And for others, you know, it doesn't make so much sense. And it's really interesting because a lot of people, I think, really are looking or are desperate for capital after the whole debacle of the ICO market. And we get told all the time, it's like, hey, we will move from Ethereum to EOS if you fund us. And that's just not really in our model. Like, we want people who really want to build on EOS, and that's who we want to back and support and throw our weight behind, rather than people who, you know, are doing it for the highest dollar, and they can't raise any money in an ERC-20 token at the minute because of the ICO market. So it's really interesting to see what's going to come through, and especially the next wave of funding and how that's really going to look for the project itself. Will that be a situation of an STO? I mean, there's many drawbacks at the minute of the STO. There's a lot of hype behind it, but we haven't really seen anything come through yet. So I'm a little bit kind of, I'm waiting for something to happen. I'm waiting for, you know, all these great things to come through. I'm just not seeing it yet. And I'm more of the kind of guy, it's like, don't tell me, show me. And I'm waiting for the uptick to happen. I'm waiting for all the capital to flow into STOs. I'm just not seeing that yet. So that's really interesting. You know, that would be something that could potentially be built upon, you know, Ethereum or EOS. So it'd be really interesting to see who leads the way. And I think Ethereum itself is a really great platform for raising funds. I mean, the ERC20 token itself was perfect. They were really revolutionary in that own right for that. And you have to remember as well, Ethereum has its own place because they were the second... They're blockchain 2.0. Like, that's what I like to think about. I know a lot of people are kind of skeptical about, you know, blockchain 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, because EOS is normally 3.0 and they don't like the fact that, you know, that EOS would be above that. But anyway, that's not the point. So Ethereum 2.0, Ethereum created the smart contract. I mean, that's revolution within its own right. The ability for me to send money from A to B, and if B spent money in a barbershop that I didn't permit within the contract, it wouldn't go through. Amazing breakthrough. And we saw lots of funds raised, you know, on an ERC20 token. And it'll be interesting to see if Ethereum will keep on accommodating to people raising funds on their network. Because at one stage, you know, CryptoKitties with 30,000 transactions, it absolutely clogged it up. You know, is it something that, you know, would be used bipartial with EOS? You know, will there be maybe in the future, you know, maybe you can get the benefits of both worlds? So these are really interesting things that I'm talking to people on a daily basis about. So I think we're just at the start of this. And I think for the Ethereum camp, it's super interesting, super exciting. I think for the EOS camp, it's the same. And, you know, we're all really excited to see what's going to be coming out from Definity and Cadena and Cardano and all of these great projects that, you know, have a lot of hype behind them. So I think as you know, a blockchain enthusiast, I think it's a great time to be part of the space and seeing all this great innovation coming through. And we will see in the end who really picks up the most network effect and network usage as well. But at this current point in time, from the facts and figures, you know, EOS is really, really taking off. But, you know, as a developer, you want to develop cool stuff and whatever works for you, right? So at this current point in time, you know, EOS is working well, but, you know, Ethereum could be around the corner with a new upgrade that's going to help the scalability situations that are currently solving. So it's really interesting. I'm super excited to just keep you guys engaged in the current situation. Of course, let us know your thoughts in our Telegram, SVK Crowd. We love to hear your thoughts and comments on everything that's going down. Remember as well, the 29th of January, we have an event here in London Town. The event is going to be titled The Future of Blockchain, What You Need to Know in 2019. It's going to be an awesome event. You've got Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, speaking. Got myself, Charles Story. You've got Oliver Mayer, our in-house blockchain analyst. And we have a few special guest speakers that will be announced very shortly who will also be speaking on their views on the space and what they see in 2019. This event is great. If you haven't been to one of our other events before, we always pack the house out. We always have a great time. Everyone is welcome. It's a really great place to meet the London community itself. It's a great place to meet myself and the rest of the SVK Crypto team. We love a networking type events. We'd love to help you with any intros that you're looking for in the London community. But I mean, the most important thing, come down, have a great time, ask lots of questions. We try and keep the format super snappy. So kind of 20 minutes per speaker with time for Q&A. Because I think Q&A is really where the value is, to be honest with you. Because I can speak for 20 minutes about what's happening in blockchain in the minute. And Shane can speak about what's happening in the markets. And Oliver can speak about the technical breakdown. But, you know, you guys have questions that, you know, we might not be addressing. So I think the Q&A is super important. We always try to roll with that. That's where the excitement is, man. That's what we want to do. We'll make an exciting show. We're going to make it high impact, high energy. And most importantly, for you guys to have a great time and learn as much as possible and network amongst the London community. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, comment, give us some stars if you're using an Apple phone. You can rate us, you can give us a star rating. So you know you want to give us a 5 stars. Now I've given you the way to do so. So remember, as always, hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Everyone is in the Telegram. It's a great place to answer questions or ask questions. And if you have any questions or queries that you'd like to send to myself, feel free. My email is cstory@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.